Take your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And again, let me, on behalf of the missions team, thank you for what you did, what you contributed, and your prayers to allow them to go down there and have an incredible life-changing experience, not just for them and not just for the people in Guatemala that they touched in their lives, but for every one of us. I'm telling you, God is still real. And God is on his throne. And he is king. Hebrews chapter 2, I want to look at verse 9, kind of as a launching pad this morning, as we look at the Savior's crown. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That phrase just catched me, crowned with glory. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you, thanking you for the privilege of being in your house today and sensing your presence. God, you are much more than just an honored guest. God, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that you have time to manifest your presence here with your people. God, how blessed we are. Lord, help us to understand that, God, what you have done in the lives of these people, Father, that went on this trip, and the people that are down there, and for us, God, is something that will make a difference for eternity. And all of that is possible because your Son took our crown in order to give us his crown. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and mercies. And Lord, you know my heart. I don't want to stand here as a pointless, powerless preacher. I want to be a blessing to these people, these that hear your word. And God, help us to appreciate as never before who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And we thank you and praise you. And all God's people said,
amen.
I want to take you back several years to a scene that no doubt we've heard about on many Easter mornings, to that day when Jesus was crucified. I want to take you to the Praetorium, which is basically one of the barracks of the Roman soldiers. And it was also, there was an area there where they would flog and punish the prisoners. Jesus is taken there and he's flogged mercilessly. But one of the things that sticks in my mind is the picture. I see this Roman with his big, thick, calloused hands taking these huge thorn vines. Somebody said these thorns are as much as 3 inches long apiece, and weaving this into a crown. Now, crowns were significant in Rome. As a matter of fact, they had borrowed them from the Greeks, where they would take bay laurel leaves, which was a kind of evergreen, and they would weave it into kind of a horseshoe shape, and it was like the champion's crown. And it was used to crown victors in games, and various worshipers of various deities would wear these crowns. As a matter of fact, have you ever heard the phrase, "He rests on his laurels"? Well, that's talking about the laurels, is referring to the bay laurel used as a crown, where somebody depends on some past event in their life where they were a hero, even if nowadays they're a zero. With Jesus, you and I rest on the fact that he wore our crown. That crown of thorns that he wore is significant. Nothing that happened to Jesus was accidental. And so when we read in chapter 2 of Hebrews in verse 9, these words where it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I can assure you, when the soldier was done with that crown, and he took it over to Jesus, and they put it on his head, and I could see them using some object to push it down into his skull, because there's no way you could take, even with rough hands, and push it down without hurting yourself, shoving it into the skull of Jesus. They were not doing it to honor our Savior. They were doing it to mock him, because people had said he was King of the Jews, and they were making him a crown. Yet the Bible says that he was crowned. What did it say? Look at verse 9. He was crowned with what? Glory and honor. When that Roman guard, in his attempt to mock Jesus, did not realize that he was putting on an appointed crown that was appointed by God for Jesus to wear. It was your crown, it was mine. We deserve that beating he got. We deserve to be crucified. We deserve to wear that crown. And it's significant that this is in the Bible. It's not accidental. You see, it was a crown of mocking and misery and shame. In Isaiah, in the Old Testament, you needn't turn. It's got some of the richest prophecy about Jesus written 700 years before the event ever happened. And we find these words, and it's as though Jesus is speaking out to us of the event that happened on Calvary. Years, 700 years into the future, back from the prophet's pen. He said, "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and from spitting." As they put that crown on Jesus, and they took him, and they slapped him around. They blindfolded him and slapped him and punched him in the face and said, "Prophesy to us. Who is it that's hitting you?" The truth of the matter is, Jesus knew exactly who was hitting him. It was you and me. And he knew that Roman guard. He knew that Roman guard from the time he was a little child. And yet Jesus was letting that happen for that Roman guard. Later, when he would hang on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And yet at the same time, what was meant for shame and what was meant for pain, God said it was a crown of glory and honor. No one else could take that crown but Jesus. And it's interesting that crowns were meant to be for glory and honor, but not a crown of thorns. You see, it was designed not only to shame but to inflame. It was designed to help him agonize. Can you imagine? Every square inch of his body was writhing in pain. And then on top of it, they put this crown and shoved these thorns down into his skull. And every bit of it happened because Jesus loved you and loved me and loved the guard that did it. I wonder if later, when you see one of the centurions standing there and saying, "Surely this was the Son of God," I wonder if any of those Roman soldiers came to the same conclusion. And wouldn't it be something if we get to heaven and meet the Roman guard that put that throne on his head? That's the kind of Jesus we serve, folks. The kind that loves those that hurt him. The kind that can see past the pain to God's plan. I don't know what you're going through, and maybe you feel like, "Boy, somebody shoved a crown of thorns down on you, and life's not fair, and life's rough." And I'm here to tell you, God still has a plan. Amen. Even if you don't understand the pain. You see here that there was a crown of mockery and misery, to shame, to inflame, and to defame, not as a king, but as a curse. I want you to listen carefully to what the Bible says. It says, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." He took your curse and mine on his head because he loves you that much. He took the shame, he took the pain, he took all of it, the defamation, he took all of it. But it was a crown of deep meaning, though no Roman guard standing there had any idea of the significance. You see, the source of thorns go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, when it says, "And unto Adam God said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee." thorns were a sign of God's curse on the earth. The crown of thorns on Jesus was a sign of God's curse that should have been on us, being placed on His own Son on purpose. You see, it was a crown of meaning and mystery. The significance, you see, crowns were for sovereigns. Crowns were also put on the heads of sacrifices. The heathen would often place garlands and crowns on the heads of the animal offerings that were brought to be sacrificed. Crowns were for successes. The Romans often crowned their champions and their generals. Little did the world know that on Calvary, the greatest general that ever put foot on this planet would march to victory hanging on a cross. There's still victory in Jesus, my friends. And there's still power in the cross. That crown, you would think it'd be the last thing that would bring glory, but our Bible says that He was crowned with glory and honor. The world saw a curse, but God sees glory and honor. You see, that crown was significant because God can do with things that hurt us and shame us, things that no one else can do. You see, the Bible says that Jesus became a curse for us. It says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. In Isaiah, it also says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. I'm going to say this, and I dare know you could garner some criticism for it. I'm not big on the faith healing movement when it comes to lining people's pockets, but I want you to know we've allowed that crowd to run healing out of God's house. And that is not biblical. We still serve a God who heals. Say amen. Amen. If you don't believe that, wait till the doctor tells you you got cancer. Amen. See if you don't want to believe it. I'm here to tell you He is still able. He is still able to heal. And it's because of what Jesus took on His back that you and I can be healed. Those stripes that lay open His skin and exposed His rib cage and His backbone, and then it hung like meat shredded off His back, He did for you and me in order that you and I could have healing. And never forget this, beloved. You don't have the right to demand God heal you here. You don't have the right to demand God anything. But I'm here to tell you this. There is an ultimate healing for God's people, and it comes when we leave this place. Amen. So even if He doesn't choose you here, He can choose you there or in there, and He can heal you then. Don't ever forget it. That God, what He did through His Son, was powerful and had significance when He became our curse. He bore the crown of the curse for us. The Bible says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." He arose to destroy the curse over us. In 1 Corinthians it says, "For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In the book of Revelation it says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him there." He wore my crown so I could wear His. Let me give you the significance of the blood. A lot of blood shed that day, all of it, for you and me. There's a problem that we've got. It's called sin. You know what the problem is out at Bonnaroo? Sin. You know what the problem out here in these hollers is? Sin. You know what the problem is in this room? Sin. And there's only one answer to that. And that's the blood of Jesus. Years ago, under the Jewish law, remember, everything in the Old Testament, as I shared with the men, I've said in here before, the new is in the old concealed, the old is in the new revealed. They all fit together. The Old and New Testament fit together perfectly. Back in the Old Testament, they were instructed to build the Ark of the Covenant. It was about the size of this communion table. It had poles that went through it. And it had a lid on top. and it had angels reached over, one on this side and one on this side, their wings touching as though they were looking down at this. And it was called the mercy seat. And once a year, the priest was allowed to go inside and he would take the blood of the sacrifice. And what was significant was what was inside this box. If you opened the lid, you would find the rod of Aaron that budded. You'd find a pot of manna, and you found the law of God. Here's what the law of God says. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. How many of you have ever sinned? Raise your hand. Come on. The Bible says you deserve death. And here's what the priest was instructed to do. You go and you take that blood and you put it in a censer, an object to sprinkle the blood, and you are to sprinkle it onto the mercy seat. The picture being that when God looked down from heaven, he did not see the handwriting of the ordinances against us. He didn't see the law that we had broken. Guess what he saw? He saw the blood. And when he looks at you and me, if you're trusting Christ as your Savior, when he sees you, he sees his Son. When he looks at you, he doesn't see your sin. He sees the blood. He says, this is one of mine. The blood of my Son is applied to his account. He's been saved. He's been blood bought, born again. He's a child of mine. And so when we read this verse and it says this, but we see Jesus who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He died for you and me. Thank God for the crown he wore. But you know, the Bible teaches that as children of the King, that you and I will get crowns. He wore our crown of thorns so we could wear his crown of glory. That's a deal, ain't it, Ronald? Trade in your sin, trade in all that, and get a crown of glory in return. That's a deal. And it's by the grace of God. You don't earn it. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But my friend, it needs to be accepted in faith like a child. Too many people make it too hard. They make it all complex and complicated. And all you need to do is be like a little child. She's 100 years old now. No, she's just a year. Mighty cute. You know it too, don't you? Yeah. But you know, one day what's going to happen, she's going to come to a place where she realizes the difference between right and wrong. The second she gets to that point, she is accountable to God for her life. She is cute. But as you bounce her and she's sitting on your knee, she has an eternal soul that's going somewhere. It's going to heaven or hell. And what we do in speaking to her life can make a difference, but you and I can't come up with any new plan. It's still the old plan from the old book, the old gospel, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners and that we have to accept that. We have to accept him in order to go to heaven, to be like him. My question today is, have you done that? Which crown do you want to wear in eternity? Want to wear your own? Why? Jesus did that for you. I've met some folks claim to be Christian. They walk around and act like they're wearing a crown of thorns every time you see them. Lord, have mercy. I don't know what they got, but I don't want to catch it. They're miserable all the time. Nothing is ever right. Nothing is ever good. You know anybody like that? Don't you look at me and say that. I try not to be. The truth of the matter is, the whole world needs Jesus. And you as a church have caught that vision. Oh, you don't have to tell these four. They get it. But I think there's more in here than just this four that gets it. And that's how they were able to go. Because I believe there's a bunch in here that get it. The only hope for this world is Jesus. And to go somewhere and be light. And to go somewhere and see the light. How long did it take you to get up to that village?
About 3 hours.
3 hours to get there. And when you got to the ground, there was some light there, right? Isn't it something how God can reach all the way down into Guatemala in the middle of nowhere? Don't tell me he can't reach Gosberg. Don't tell me he can't reach that hard knucklehead living up here that's living like a child of hell, that God can't reach him. I'm telling you, he can. That sorry dog wife beater that needs Jesus. That's what he needs, is Jesus. All of us whine and complain about Bonnaroo, but I'm telling you what Bonnaroo needs. Bonnaroo needs Jesus. They need Bonnarooligans. That's what they need. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. You know what Coffee County needs more than anything? We need Jesus. And that's what I'm praying. I want you to pray with me that God would use us to make a difference here, there, and everywhere. For him. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask Brian to come, if he will, and just pray a verse of invitation song. As he comes, would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I'm so grateful for God and him, his moving in our midst and among our people. And this past week, little Justin, so grateful. If God has been good to you, say amen. Let me ask you this next question. I want you to take it to heart. Which crown, if you died right now, which crown would you wear? Why would you wear a thorny crown of judgment and a curse when Jesus has taken that for you? If you're a child of the King, you have royal spiritual blood pumping through your veins, spiritually speaking. And you are a child of the Holy King. I can tell you this. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you don't have to wait to die to have eternal life. You have eternal life right now in Christ. If you were to drop over right now, if you're a child of the King, you're going into His presence. You're going to heaven. But if you're not sure of that and you're not ready, there is only one other location you can go, and that's hell. Jesus loves you so much. He took your hell for you. Why in the world would you carry it yourself? He paid for it on Calvary's cross. You can't pay for it in eternity. Sounds like a deal to me. When are you going to accept Christ as your Savior? When are you going to ask Him into your heart? Thank God for those who have done that. And if you've done so, say amen. But if you haven't, today's your day. Why don't you do it today? If you need to make sure of your soul's salvation, why don't you step out from where you are and come and kneel, and I'll take the Word of God, and just in childlike simplicity, I'll show you what God said, how you can be sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're ready to meet God. This is your time. You can do that. You are among friends. We are a community here. Not just the gospel community, but a church family. We love one another. And we're blessed. We love to have company going to heaven. We're not going to heaven because we're a church. We're not going to heaven because we're this church. We're going to heaven because by faith in Christ, we became a member of His church. And any person in this world that knows Jesus is a member of that same church. In Guatemala, 3-hour ride from anywhere, they're just as much a child of the King as you and I are. I'm going to ask the missions team, if they will, to go to the back door where I usually stand. I want them to go right now. Go on back. And I want you to hug their neck, shake their hand. Thank them for their willingness to serve as they thank you for helping to send them. Lord willing, next week's Father's Day, as I said, they're going to present to us some of the pictures and thoughts that go along with them to help us see even better. Father, I bow before you. I just want to say thank you. Thank you that you crowned your Son with glory and honor, and he wore my crown. Thank you. Thank you for sending a Savior that loves us and knows what it's like to be a human being. God, it's tough living for you sometimes. In the age we're living in, it seems to be getting tougher. God, I pray you'd encourage the one that's feeling weak today, that you would build up the one that needs your strength. I'm asking you, Father, that you again would encourage that one, Father, that's discouraged. If there's anyone here that's not sure of their soul salvation, God, help them to make it so before this day is over. In childlike faith, help them to call out to you and say, oh God, I believe that your Son is Jesus Christ, that he died for my sin and rose from the dead, and I want him to come into my heart. God, help them to pray that prayer. Give them the courage, if they do that, to tell others. God, we thank you for your presence here today. You are amazing. And you can do above all that we ask or think. Now, Lord, go with us, we pray, as we dismiss from this place. And Father, would you please use us as your people, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.